How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Time now for the C-Note Cowboys News of the Evening. It's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Okay, a couple of stories here from Blogging the Boys, RJ Ochoa, who was just on Love of the Star with you guys, wasn't he?
He sure was.
How the Cowboys picked up the extra win post schedule release. They went from 8.5 to 9.5, didn't they?
Yeah.
So he writes, while scrolling through social this week, a video on The Athletic appeared. The TikTok video made note of the fact that Cowboys and Panthers each picked up an extra win by way of the schedule release. You can watch the video for yourself here. He links to it. The premise is that neither of those teams have to play any short week road games all year.
So yeah,
you're
clutch.
Going on the road and they're giving you a full week to prepare every time. That's pretty cool. Michael Irvin says former Cowboys legend wanted John Elway role. This is Troy Aikman.
Yeah.
You know, and he says he feels horrible for the guy. I don't know how you could expect that to happen, knowing how much of a hard ass Troy Aikman is and how much he'd want things to be his way. There's no way Jerry Jones would have ever allowed that sort of voice debate.
Yeah, I mean, I get it from the playmaker standpoint of like, man, if you're ever going to kind of make an exception to that general rule, wouldn't it be a guy like Troy who did so much for the organization and being the leader of those championships? Like, man, if it would ever happen, then you know, maybe it would be Troy that Jerry would kind of open the door for a little bit. But obviously, they were wrong about that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, if there's anybody that you would open that up for, I just think Jerry wants this group of employees that are going to be loyal to him above all other. And I don't think you could trust Troy, you know, to keep his frustrations in-house or to not blow up. Like, the reason that Vrabel might not work, too strong of a personality, can insist on things being his way. I think that's Troy Aikman, and I think he would have done a hell of a job.
For sure.
Well, I think the chances of Jerry greenlighting that are zero.
Yeah, and I think, to me, the vibe that I got from the outside looking in and then with the Netflix special that came out, The Gambler, and listening to Troy talk, Troy just does not appear to me to have respect for Jerry the football guy.
Mm.
I don't think he really looks at him as a guy whose opinion he cares much for when
yeah.
it comes to football.
Yeah.
And I think if you're Jerry, it's like, okay, well, then F you.
Yeah, that would have been a short-lived Jimmy Johnson, Jerry Jones experiment probably anyways, where both of them were like, okay, yeah, this has been, whatever, 3 years and we're done here.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Like, Jerry wants to, you know, be propped up. And because of that, like, Troy would have to come in as I'm going to save the Cowboys from Jerry.
Yes.
You right. know, and how's that going to play in the media? It just doesn't work. Then we go to the crucial stat that could make or break the 2026 Dallas Cowboys. Every double-digit win season, they've had a positive turnover differential. Every negative turnover differential season has resulted in fewer than 10 wins. You know, and a bunch of other times they've been even this century, but 21-12. And that's, I think that's been the number one thing that has consistently been a message from Shoddy, you know, when he's asked, like, what do you guys have to do to get back to winning ways here coming up in 2026? He'll talk turnover differential with you. So I think that'll be something to watch there with the ball skills guys. We had it good with Diggs and Bland like 18 months, didn't we?
And it stinks. Like, we were just talking on the stack earlier, and we kicked this around with Daniel Jeremiah's stuff. Like, you have three playmakers on defense. And we should be able to say, like, yeah, Daron Bland, boom, right off the cuff. This dude just broke the pick six record for most pick sixes in a single season. He was in turnover machine. And then now you're looking at him, we're like, I can't. Is he good anymore? And then is he going to stay healthy for me? He just has not been the same player, and he hasn't been able to stay on the field.
All righty, we got ESPN's list of the best draft-eligible quarterbacks going into this college football season. There's 9 guys in their top tier of guys to watch. You guys zeroing in on anybody right now as far as who quarterbacks you're excited to watch in this upcoming college football season? The text is open at 877-881-1053. Who do you think's the best?
Laundry list of dudes to be excited about, and they probably all won't meet expectation, but there's such a good group here that you would expect at least a handful to rise up. I mean, Arch Manning, of course, has to be at the top of that. I do think Lenora Sellers for South Carolina is another guy who you've seen the improvement. He had nothing to work with South Carolina last year. Nothing. The offensive line was brutal. No receivers to really speak of. And so hopefully they've done enough to build around him a little bit more and give him a little bit more of an opportunity.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But you've seen him grow, and he's just a total freak show physically. Like, my gosh, are you kidding me? This guy's amazing. So those two would be right at the top of the list. Dante Moore's another guy with Oregon for sure. It's a shame you're not going to get to see Sorsby, but Trinidad Chambliss is another one.
Yes.
You know, I'm excited about Trinidad because he was really, really good. Probably could have gone decently high in this year's draft. But one more year with Ole Miss, I'm excited to watch him play. Mestemaker, I mean, geez, dude,
yeah, you got
a ton of guys. Levitt over there at LSU, Broadish, your guy. Yeah. And another dude who's been put on the map a little bit is Drake Lindsey, quarterback for Minnesota.
And oh, yeah.
He's only,
Is he Nate Tice guy?
Yeah, he's only a sophomore. But he's 6'5", 230 pounds, and apparently is pretty dang impressive. I don't know if he'll come out in next year's class.
Redshirt sophomore.
So he could, but that's just another guy that people are pretty excited about.
The kid at Ohio State's interesting.
Julian Sain.
Sain.
Yeah, he's a guy. I mean, I believe he led the nation in completion percentage.
Yeah.
30-some-odd touchdowns, very few interceptions.
He's another guy that you saw, much like Arch. I mean, second half of the season was night and day different.
Yeah, really good.
A 77%. They've trusted him to make a lot of the calls to the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. I guess doesn't have the ideal size or arm strength, so maybe that will limit him. Didn't throw middle much either, which is, I think, a function of the Ohio State offense. Predetermines a lot of stuff. Pre-snap, are we going quick game? Are we going deep? Mm-hmm. That's what the ESPN article's saying right here. So maybe they're not asking him to do some of those things like throwing over the middle, but that would be, you know, obviously pretty important for NFL teams to look at. Amongst the nine guys in Tier 1, Chief, you hit a lot of them. CJ Carr at Notre Dame, 6'2", 215. He is another redshirt sophomore. His big challenge is refusing to give up on big plays. He's scrambling. He's throwing too aggressive into trouble. Sounds like you're not impressed, Wolchek.
Did you just mouth fart into the microphone when you heard CJ Carr's name?
But I'm a Notre Dame hater, I think.
He kind of looks like a good-looking version of Carson Beck. Like, if Carson Beck wasn't inbred, I think that's CJ Carr.
Maybe this year he really shows off. I didn't love what I saw from CJ Carr at Notre Dame. But, hey, you know what? We'll give him another year. I think that the USC guy, and I don't know for sure, is it Maiava? Is that how you say his last name?
I think so.
Jaden Maiava.
Watching just Mekhi Lemon and the other USC receiver last year, like, he was a fun player to watch. That kid can spin it.
I guess he's a happy feet guy.
Yeah, I could see that, yeah.
And then you have to wonder how much of this success was Mekhi Lemon, who was just a demon down the field catching the deep ball.
And Jacoby Lane, that's who the other receiver was.
Yeah, went to Baltimore. 37 completions on 20 passes or more air yards. He led the FBS. 37 throws deep. So... that's Maiava. He's top tier. Arch Manning, 6'4", 219, heavily debated player. The traits and name will get him drafted round one. I think there should be at least four round one quarterbacks that we be expecting. Looking at this, CJ Bailey at Clemson. He's 6'6", 210, and he's pretty fast. He just turned 20. Wow. I guess he's breaking down under pressure and has to add a little bit more bulk to him. And then Miami's Darian Mensah makes the top tier as well. Textbook poise and mechanics. Ball security is the issue. I guess he lost 5 fumbles and didn't step up when pressure was near him. That's what's to watch with Darian Mensah. Does he feel the pressure? Does he have that sixth sense eyes in the back of his head? But check this out. 24 touchdowns, 0 picks in the red zone. It's pretty dang good. He's creative and confident, though. He sees stuff. He trusts his arm. He layers throws between levels. So there's a lot to like. Mestemakers, tier one at Oklahoma State.
Let's go.
Quick release, big time throws, incredible story. I guess the knock is locking into his first read. Seems like whenever we got excited and we were tuning in for him, there, you know,
he
stuff
played
went
his
awry.
Worst in the yeah. conference championship game. He definitely did.
Dante Moore at Oregon. He should be a top 10 pick, unless things go crazy. Best of the rest here, Jaden Craig, TCU, Harvard's all-time leader in passing yards and touchdowns. Byron Brown at Auburn. Indiana's Josh Hoover, transferred from TCU. Kevin Jennings at SMU in his second tier, only 192 pounds, but he's tough. He can throw it. Just turns it over too much. DJ Lagway at Baylor.
Oh, that's a good one. I mean, I was excited about DJ Lagway last year. Florida, it all fell apart. Maybe Baylor, it's where his dad played. Can they get it out of him?
Do you think John Mateer has a shot?
No, I'm not a Mateer guy.
Marcel Reed had 7 turnovers in his last 2 games at A&M. That kind of, but he's back, and you know, I know the Aggies feel like he can maybe get rid of those turnovers and be a decent quarterback for him this year, but probably not a draft prospect. At least at this point in his, I mean, he's like the 20th, 21st guy listed here. Okay, we got Krusty's Corner. Speaking of quarterbacks, what do you have in store for us, buddy?
Yeah, let's do it. You give me a scouting report on this Brendan Sorsby. We'll do that next.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanses and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.